on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, May 6th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. Appreciate you all tuning in to this hour with me. And my job is to help you become a better investor, help you navigate these very interesting times. You know, I've talked before about the book Fourth Turning. I think that's very applicable to today. And you know, you see it all around us, you know, just lots of change, and it doesn't seem to stop, right? And that's for good reason, because we are in a time of change. We are in the winter season and things become more difficult. Now, the good news is, on the other side of winter is spring, but you have to navigate winter first. And that's what we're here to do, is to help guide you on a day-to-day, week-to-week, week-month-to-month basis, help you understand what's happening in markets and how it will impact your portfolio and maybe even your livelihood overall. Because we cover different sectors, different asset classes, and we take your questions. So don't hesitate to reach out with your question. Whatever it is money related, we are here to help. Now, in just a bit, we're going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
This is Kevin from Florida. I was wondering about your analysis of Target and where it could go from here. Just want to see what you think about Target these days. Thank you, and I appreciate all you do on the show. Bye.
All right, looking at Target, TGT is the symbol. And this has been in a very, very strong downtrend. If I take a look at it, peaked back in April of last year at about $180 per share. Now we're at $93 per share. So it's down about 50% from that high. And if you go all the way back to 2021, its high was $270. Okay, so that 180 was only the kind of recent high. So it's been in a downtrend since that 270 level. And that means we're down about, nearly 70% from that high. And the technicals continue to be poor. It's below all the major moving averages on the chart. And so it, from a technical perspective, you just have to leave it alone. Now, the other question is, should it be on your watch list? And I would argue right now, probably not. Now, long term, yes. But it is a company with a lot of headwinds right now due to the tariffs, obviously. And then you also have a consumer that, you know, maybe trading down to a Walmart, right? The shoppers at Target tend to be maybe a little more affluent than your typical Walmart shopper. But if times are tougher, well, they tend to trade down to Walmart. If you buy at Walmart, you better trade down to the dollar store. That's kind of how it goes. Now, they do have good leadership. I do like their leadership typically. From a business perspective, they tend to make good deals with influencers and celebrities, and they're smart in that way. If you look at the profitability of the company, it tends to hang around the high 20% return on equity, which is very, very good. So it should be on your watch list longer term, but I don't see a time in the short term that it's going to get enticing for me. So once again, I'd watch it because at some point it will turn, but I just don't see it anytime soon. Now, where's the major support from a technical perspective? It's actually going to be down around $70 per share. Now it's at 93. So if you get down to the 70 area, I would start to maybe think about it a bit more. The major support though isn't really down till 50. So you're getting there, but I keep it on the sidelines for now. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and our main focus point concerns This question: Americans are losing billions to sports betting, but at what cost? And I love this topic because it's not discussed enough. The negative impact sports betting is having on the average U.S. consumer. And it kind of ties in with economic nihilism and some, I think, some social issues that are deep rooted. But I want to really hit on this so you kind of open your eyes to the detriment that sports betting is having on the state that it is legal in. So we're going to look at the dark side of the gambling experience, such as bankruptcies, reduced savings, increased debt, etc. We also have other topics on the docket. One is in regards to what are companies doing with hiring? You had the headline number on the jobs report for the month of May. Sorry, month of April. We're in May. And that was a bit better than expected. But there are other figures that tell a different story. Okay, so we'll look at that. Also, we're going to touch a bit on Social Security. A lot of retirees are taking Social Security early. And frankly, I think for not a good reason. And it's detrimental to the long-term health of the consumer. And we'll dig into how you should think about when you should take your Social Security. Okay. We also have voice bank calls. One is on JEPI, J-E-P-I, the JP Morgan Equity Premium Income ETF, and how to begin investing at 18. I'm going to love that one. I know that. And then we have comments that came in via the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now live at 888-99-CHART. But we're going to head into our first break right now. And on the other side, I'll talk about today's market activity and take your questions on the Invest Talk Anytime listener line. Once again, that number is 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
My name is Robert, and I'm from Florida. Great show. I learned so much from just listening to you.
Hi, this is Susan from New Jersey. I'm calling about AXOA.
How much of the information that came out today on the whole AI play with DeepSeek and all that, how much of that information can you really trust?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
I am very much a person that does not trust Chinese data.
Net income is growing and margins are staying pretty steady.
Now let's go take a live call. Paul from Palm Desert.
Let's go to George from San Mateo, who has a question about index funds.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call Invest Talk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Is that a good strategy or should I be looking at other things?
888-99-CHART. Justin Klein is here and he's ready with answers to your finance and investment questions. Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Richard in Santa Clarita, who wants to talk about oil.
Yeah, hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. I've got about of my portfolio about 5% in oil, actually split three ways between three companies, Occidental, CNQ, the Canadian Natural Resources, and ExxonMobil. Got the ExxonMobil during the pandemic, and so it's done quite well. Really behind, though, in CNQ and even worse in Occidental. If I combine the three together, I'm ahead about 5% in terms of, you know, gains or losses. So at this point, given, is this a time to take, you know, the 5% profit that I've got and get out? Or would it be better just wait this out and, you know, just, you know, set it and forget it at this point, or do something in between?
Well, here's the thing. I think oil is, you know, oil had the bad news over the weekend for oil, at least oil prices, that OPEC was going to increase production. And it was down pretty decently yesterday. But we reversed all of those losses and ended up positive today. So between yesterday and today, oil's up. To me, that's a pretty good sign. Whenever you have bad news on a particular asset class, company, whatever that is, and it holds water and maybe even does better over, you know, over the coming days, that's to me a sign that maybe you're at an inflection point. Remember, shale oil is unprofitable below $60 per barrel. So it's, to me, it's hard for oil to get much below 60 because you're just going to have the major swing producer stop producing. And shale oil is easy to start and stop, relatively, compared to a lot of other type of projects. So to me, that's the sign here is, yeah, you can dip below 60 a little bit, you know, get in the mid 50s. But to have a major drop well below $50 per barrel, it seems difficult. Now, I also don't think it's going to go to 120 because same reason, right? Goes up high enough and shale pumps and you balance the market. So to me, it's kind of a big range trade. And so to me, it's near the low end of that range and I wouldn't be selling it here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So just kind of maybe hang on. Even looking next couple of years, just holding it. Again, it's just 5% of the portfolio. It's not, you know, I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a small percentage of your portfolio. This is not a time to be dumping it. You're diversified at three solid names. So I have no issue with what you're holding right now.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now let's pivot over to the market today and take a look at the S&P. It was down about 0.75%. NASDAQ was down about 88 basis points. Dow was down nearly 1%, 0.95% there. Meta and Tesla were the big drags, but the biggest drag was in the healthcare space. You had an appointee for the FDA, that Vinay Prasad, who's kind of a skeptic on the way that COVID was handled and the boosters, COVID vaccine boosters, and just a bit skeptical on how the medical industry has evolved, shall we say, over the past decade plus. And so you had a lot of those names from Eli Lilly to AbbVie to Merck, et cetera, that were down considerably. And Vinay Prasad, I believe he's a Stanford professor. And so this is what really weighed on the market today. You had some news on the tariff front. It does look like the U.S. has finally spoken with China on trade over in Switzerland. And it looks like, the new leader of Canada, Carney, he came and he met with President Trump at the White House. Didn't seem like there was a lot of movement there. They're talking about renegotiating USMCA, but there really wasn't, once again, a lot of movement on that front. We'll get more, I think, market moving news with the Fed meeting tomorrow, and Fed decision won't be, they won't raise rates or cut rates. But it's going to be about their prognostication about, you know, the next rate cut, what they're going to do with QT, et cetera. And that's something that will certainly be a market mover at 11 o'clock Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. On other asset news, treasuries were a bit stronger, so rates were down slightly. The dollar was down 0.6%. Gold finished up 3%. After being up 2.5% yesterday. So nice strong start to the gold to gold this week, up 5.5%. And you can see little pullbacks in gold last couple weeks, but nothing damaging and just remains in a strong uptrend. Bitcoin futures up 0.8% and crude oil settled up 3.4% on the day. So once again, reversing that 2% decline that we had on Monday. So still below $60 a barrel, but like I said, with that caller, that's a nice bounce back in the midst of some really, really bad news of OPEC really just trying to defend its market share. Okay. So that was the market today, and we'll get more fireworks as we head into Wednesday. Now we're moving into a break still to come. My focus point, more answers to your questions. I encourage you to call now on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
Quick question. What are some signs of that a recession is coming?
Is there any lesson for people who own stocks, even if they don't short a stock, that the stock they own, they should know whether it's been heavily shorted?
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
If this gets to 170 to 175 in that range, that's where I'd pick it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA. Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
I'm a new investor, and your podcast has helped me out a lot.
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART, or post your questions on the InvestTalk YouTube channel.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Today is about Americans losing billions to sports betting, but at what cost? And I love this. So we made a conscious decision actually recently to cut any advertising on InvestTalk around sports betting because I read some unsettling statistics. And I'm going to bring you some of these right now, but I want to back up and kind of give you a lay of the land within the space. So in 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that sports betting would be legalized nationwide. And since then, the industry has grown rapidly. Billions of dollars are waged annually, and it's reshaping how people are spending, saving, investing, etc. And it's not usually for the better. And there's a lot of social and obviously financial costs to the rising number of gamblers. And this is leading to more bankruptcies, rising debt, and the data is pretty clear. Now, the sports betting operators, think FanDuel, DraftKings, all the casinos, MGM, et cetera, they generated close to $40 billion in revenues in 38 states where sports betting was legal. That's according to Legal Sports Report. And in 2024 alone, preliminary reports show operators booked more than $14.2 billion in gains. That's after paying out the winnings, how much they are keeping. And those gains are up 29%. Year over year. So that's what that means. That's net losses for the average American. And nearly 8% of households were involved in gambling by the end of 2023. And obviously that only went up last year with, you know, a rise in profits. Now, net investment fell by on average 14% for households in states that legalize sports betting. Think about that. 14% for households in states that legalize sports betting. They invested 14% less. So savings and investing are declining dramatically in those states. It is clearly bad for the average consumer's financial well-being. For every dollar a household spent on sports betting, it put two fewer dollars into investment accounts. So this is almost directly dollar for dollar plus some that is no longer going to investments. We already have a retirement crisis for, you know, there are our older cohort. And those that choose to gamble are going down the same path. And research found that those that are into sports betting, it's not just about losing money on sports. It's they spend more on cable TV, going out to restaurants, other forms of entertainment, playing lottery games, etc. So it feeds a kind of lifestyle that brings excess and poor decision making. Go out to the bar, have a few drinks, watch the game that you have money on, and it's fun, it's exciting, but once again, it's detrimental to your financial health. Now, UCLA did some research, and they said, overall, consumer financial health is modestly deteriorating in states that legalize sports gambling. So it's not just one study. These are multiple studies. They found within 4 years of state legalizing online sports betting that credit scores decreased by an average of 1%. Debt collection amounts jumped by 8%. And get this, bankruptcy filings up by 28%. That's an additional 30,000 bankruptcies per year. Now you might say, well, they're paying taxes and that's going to the state and they're building infrastructure with that money and they're funding education, even counseling services for gambling problems. Yes, that's true. But that's only $1.8 billion compared to the $14.2 billion that these companies profited. So the net benefit to society is clearly negative. Gambling gets the worst to people. Maybe it's they don't understand the odds. Maybe it's just the emotions of it all. But the bottom line is, it's just bad for your health. It's bad for your financial health. No, I've gambled here and there, but once, twice a year. That's it. Usually between friends. So it's not something anybody should make a habit of. And when you do, it's clearly bad for your future. Now, in the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this question. How will declining immigration impact the U.S. economy? For starters, stricter immigration policies could significantly disrupt industries like agriculture and construction. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your questions at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch Invest Talk on our YouTube channel.
Now, we're excited to introduce the brand new InvestTalk store, your destination for exclusive InvestTalk merchandise created for savvy investors. Shop now, discover apparel and accessories that celebrate your financial journey. It's as a special bonus, the first 25 orders will receive a free copy of Above Average Investing for the Average Investor by Steve Peasley. So, exciting new launch we have here. And all you have to do is visit InvestTalkStore.com, InvestTalkStore.com, the shop, the launch. So go check it out. Now let's keep things moving. Here comes another fresh question from our 24/7 voice bank.
This is Sanket from Boston. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this ETF, J as in Jordan, E as in English, P as in Peter, I as in India. Was looking at this ETF as a means for capital preservation to a certain extent. Looking to get your thoughts on this. Thanks.
All right. Looking at JEPI, and this is Jeppy. This is the JP Morgan Equity Premium Income ETF. This is the largest actively managed covered call ETF. Now, we have an actively managed covered call strategy. It's called Equity Income Plus for our clients. And it's similar to this. It does perform a bit better on average, but you know, this is fairly good if you want something simple and straightforward to gain access to. Now, you said capital preservation, and to an extent, that's true. It was down in 2022, just like we were, but you know, it was down 3.5%, kind of similar to what we were down in our strategy. So in a down market, remember that was the year where the NASDAQ was down 33%, the S&P was down nearly 20%. So when you hold, when you're down low single digits, low to mid single digits, it's a pretty good year, right? Comparatively, you did awesome. This year, JPY is down about 1%. So, you know, that's once again much better in rougher times like this. Now, we'll underperform, like most covered call strategies do, in up years. Last year was only up about 12%. The year before was only up about 9.8%. So we generally did better than that in up years. And so, you know, overall, it's a good strategy. But what I call it capital preservation, typically when I say capital preservation, I mean, you know, you want it steady. You want no losses. This just minimizes the losses. That's what covered call strategies do. They minimize the loss for the portfolio. And so if that's what you're looking for, then I would go for it. Now, one thing you have to look out for all of these covered call ETFs, all of them, this includes JPY, says a yield, 12-month yield, 7.8%, SEC yields, 11%. You might have other covered call ETFs that that are hugging an index like the NASDAQ or the S&P or the Russell, whatever it is. They're all going to look like they have high dividend yields. It's going to look super attractive because of that high dividend yield. But you do not want to look at that. You want to completely 100% block that out of your mind and ignore it, because it doesn't really represent the expected return that you should get from this. What you have to look at is the total return in a given year. For example, 2022. Most of those stocks were probably down in the portfolio, double digits. But they were countered by the dividends maybe coming from the stocks, the call option premiums that were coming in. And that was probably in the double digits. And so it hedged the downside. But you still net were down. Okay. And in up years, those calls are going to actually hold the total return back. And so in many ways, that income that you're receiving is a net negative. So everyone's getting kind of duped by these covered call ETFs by just simply looking at the yield. You have to look at the total strategy as a whole and the risks and rewards there. And generally, I like them, but not because of the quote unquote yield that you might see on the screen of 7, 8, 9, 10, 12%. It's not the way to look at it. But JPY is a pretty solid fund. Now, I hope you're telling your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, as well as on YouTube. And we get questions submitted over there. And let's tackle one of those now. Ryan Ketza says, "Hi, guys. I've heard you guys discussing IIPR before, liking it. Dividend yield is really high. Would buy it now, chasing yield, or can you cover it? Can they cover it? And is it good to buy? It would be for my Roth IRA." So this is a name that has been struggling with some defaults on their on their properties. And that's why you see funds from operation expected to go from $9.08 in 2023 to a little under $7 this year. Supposed to bounce back to $6.99 next year. And so they're certainly struggling, like I said, with some of those defaults. And so it's high risk. They need to figure out how to get those properties restabilized, new tenants. And that means it's very high risk. But, you know, it's the cannabis industry. These things tend to wax and wane with the regulation, with the strength of the operators within the industry. And so, you know, it's just a very high risk play. I think it's a good risk versus reward, but it is very high risk. So, you know, in a Roth IRA, if you're looking for that upside, you know, this wouldn't be bad. I do think that they can afford their payout as of right now. If you look at their payout ratio, let's take a look at here. The payout ratio is about 132%, but the cash dividend payout ratio is only 82%, means their cash flows are covering that dividend by about 20% more. So you're doing pretty good there. I don't think that'll be cut, at least in the near term, but they really do need to get back to growth and get back to stabilizing those properties. But like I said, still very, very high risk. Now let's pivot over and touch on Social Security, okay? And this is something where, you know, we're in uncertain times, and for many years, people have been worried about Social Security, worried that it was going to run out, right? Worried that when you go and take Social Security, you're gonna not get your payments if you are getting Social Security, you're going to be cut off or your payments are reduced, etc. So more and more Americans are taking their Social Security early because they're anxious. Now, pending Social Security claims for retirement, survivor, and health insurance benefits totaled 580,887 in March. That's up from 500,527 a year earlier. Now, part of this is a lot of boomers retiring over the past year plus. And so you just have a lot more people trying to access their payments. And obviously with the jobs market weakening over the past year, more and more people have opted to take their benefits as opposed to going back to work. Now, Trump's second term is heightening anxieties. Obviously, looking at improper payments, so far they only represent about 0.3% of total benefits. So that's some savings there. But clearly, the vast majority of these people need and deserve their benefits. Now, economists and advisors like us historically have said you want to wait as long as you can. Now, part of this is running a financial plan. This is what we do for clients. This is part of doing a portfolio review and then becoming a client and then actually Social Security planning, looking at income both today and into the future, expenses, tax rates, Roth conversion strategy, all of that plays into when you should take Social Security. It's not just about the growth of Social Security over that time, although it is significant. If you take it at 70 versus 62, if you take it at 70 versus 62, your benefits will be 76% higher. And if you live past 80, you'll come out ahead. And you'll definitely come out ahead if inflation remains high, because your benefits, your base, will be on a higher number. That's one thing most people are overlooking when it comes to Social Security, is that it's COLA adjusted, cost of living adjusted. And if you take it early, the earlier you take it, the less guaranteed money you have exposed to those COLA adjustments. Right? Because if COLA is 5%, it's going to be 5% of whatever your payment is. And if you took it at 62, it's going to be really low. If you wait till 70, it's going to be fairly high, and that 5% is going to be much bigger. Now, a recent survey said that more than 75% of U.S. adults worry a great deal or a fair amount about Social Security and its sustainability. That's at a 13-year high. Now, we know Social Security fund is under pressure. It's projected to deplete in just 8 years, 2033. And that would trigger a 21% reduction in benefits. Now, I've talked about this before. There are many, many ways for these things to be resolved. And I believe they will. I believe that they're not going to cut benefits. They have the power of the purse. They can means test it. They can increase the cap that the current retirees pay or current workers pay into Social Security to sustain them. You can raise the retirement age. There's a lot that can be done. Okay. You could lower, say, the RMD age for retirement accounts and have that money go into the Social Security fund, for example, those taxes. There's a lot of things that can be done. And I do think that they will make those changes before anybody has a reduction in benefits. Now, it could be wrong, but that's the history of politics in this country. Now, you should also run a plan. As I said, you should always have a plan in place. I see too many people taking Social Security without understanding What makes sense for them? Once again, based on their income, their spending, their taxes, their Roth conversion strategy, all of this. Because usually, especially Roth conversion, it's usually a good time between retirement and taking Social Security to do a bunch of Roth conversions, lock in low tax rate, and go from there. Problem is, a lot of people take Social Security too early, and then they lose out on their ability to do these Roth conversions. So I encourage you, your advisor should be running these numbers for you. If they're not, they're not doing you, or I say they're doing you a disservice. Okay. Let's go take a live call. James from New York looking at BRY.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Doing well. Looking at Barry, the owner, looking to buy it.
I'm skeptical, looking at it carefully for a small cap, domestic energy, high risk, small position.
Okay. Now looking at BRY. Now this is a oil and gas name. It is profitable, but obviously it's down on its luck. About it's trading at $2.46. Let me look at its debt level here. Yeah, it has a good amount of debt. So that's a worry, but its free cash flow is positive. It's still $100 million. Okay. On a market cap of $189 million, enterprise value about $600 million. So that's the real issue, is can it take those cash flows and maintain those cash flows to keep the debt service? Now, what are they doing with this cash flow now? They're not paying down debt. That's kind of a worry. They were buying back stock. They're no longer doing that. Once again, they are profitable. That's good. But once again, that debt level is extremely high. They're paying a dividend. Can they really sustain this dividend? Cash to pay ratio is good. So that's what they're doing with most of that cash flow, is paying that dividend. It's very high risk. You're very high risk. You know, technically it's a penny stock. Anything under $5 is $189 million market cap. It's a micro cap, really. It's not a small cap. I don't hate it if you have strong conviction that oil will bottom here in the high 50s and we'll move back into the 70s, 80s, this will rebound dramatically. So this is a very levered play on oil. Very high risk. And are you willing to take that risk? That's the question. Are you?
I was going to go in very small. I mean, I am. But okay. Very small position.
Yeah, that's fine. If you're comfortable with that small position, I have no problem with it, because they still are cash flow positive. They still have some good assets. It looks like they operate in the Western United States. And yeah, I mean, I think they can work their way out of this, as long as oil doesn't really collapse into the 30s, right? Then I think they'll be okay. But, you know, it's very high risk, and you have to understand that. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And we only have about 5 or 6 minutes left, so we're moving into our final break. But I remind you to go check out our new Invest Talk store. Yeah, it's called the InvestTalkStore.com, and it's where you can get our new merch line. So hats, t-shirts, hoodies, all of that with the Invest Talk logo on it, and show your fandom for Invest Talk. Now we're moving into a break, but call me now at 888-99-CHART.
'25 rolls on, and you might have some fresh questions for Justin or Luke. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
I'm an 18-year-old investor looking to get into the market. I have about $500 to spend and was looking where to start. Thought I'd come to you guys. Thanks again for the show.
Now, I always struggle with this question. And Steve and I had a little bit different of a philosophy. And that's okay. I get this all the time. It's like, oh, Steve said one thing, you said another thing, and Luke said one thing, you say another thing. We have difference of opinions. That can happen. Now, the conservative way to look at it when it comes to Steve's viewpoint was always buy an index fund, you get instant diversification, and you can follow the markets from there. And I think that's fine for certain people. If their goal is not to ever make another type of a decision for themselves, right, on the investment front, right? They're always going to index. They're just going to keep it simple. And that can be fine. But if you want to learn, I always say buy a position, buy a company you like, you know, do a little research, learn your lessons. Your lessons will come cheap because you don't have a lot of money. Better than you build it up over 30 years, then you get bored and you start trying to buy individual stocks and make a bunch of mistakes. And, you know, you did that with hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I'm a bigger fan of you're new, you're 18, you're working with $500. Now commissions are free. You know, back in the day, you know, commissions would be $8, $10, $15 and eat up a lot of profit on any one trade. Now commissions are effectively free. So, you know, go buy a share here, go buy a share there, start to diversify your portfolio, continue to save and build over time and learn about companies, industries, how earnings events, dividends happen, all of this. And the best way to do it is doing it yourself. Now, that's if you want to go down that journey. You want to learn, you want to get better, you want to be savvy, or you want to just index. Different strokes for different folks. So it's kind of up to you, but I'm a bigger fan of the individual position path. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch on hiring. We had the jobs number last Friday and it was better than expected, 177,000 jobs for April. But underneath the surface, there are other factors that are telling a bit different story. One is obviously the JOLTS data, jobs openings. They were down, I think it was 700,000 jobs. And that's a lot, okay? And the employers are saying the same thing. T. Rowe Price slowing hiring, JetBlue reducing non-essential hiring, companies like Polaris, who makes off-road vehicles, they pause hiring. And that's what you're seeing a lot now. It's not massive layoffs. Some are laying off people for sure. But during earnings calls over the past 2 weeks, companies, big and small, didn't mention a lot of layoffs, but they did repeatedly say they're more cautious before bringing on new workers. So that's where it starts. Now, some companies are actively laying off, like Union Pacific. That's the railroad that mainly operates in the western part of North America. Obviously, with imports being reduced, they're going to need less staff. Job advertising on Indeed down 1.1% in the past 2 weeks. So not, once again, not dire, but clearly weakening. And then President Trump recently extended a government-wide federal hiring freeze through mid-July. So that's not helping either. And then you have the unemployment claims, new unemployment claims that came in last week on Thursday. We'll get new ones this Thursday. But what it said was basically we're at the highest level on initial jobless claims since, let's see, since February. But the more important one, actually one I always watch, is the continuous jobless claims. Because the new ones are just all about who got laid off. Continuous claims is about who's been laid off, who's being added to that number, and then who are finding jobs. And it gives a total complete picture of the jobs market. Well, that one has moved to a 3.5-year high, 1.91 million on continuing unemployment. So it's pretty clear the jobs market is weakening. It's just, I think, slower than most people had imagined. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And keep in mind, if you need help understanding your full financial picture and how that is linked to your investment strategy, I encourage you to head over to investdoc.com and schedule a call with me by clicking on the portfolio review button. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.